had to check the bulletin, make sure I was next.
No.
It's good to laugh a little bit. You know, when I was in my pastoral ministry studies, my program, one of the first few classes, I actually got into a pretty big, I don't want to call it an argument, but a debate with another fellow student who was hoping he would end up at a church that had very little musical talent so he didn't have to compete with them with his sermons. And I couldn't agree with that, because music is a part of worship. And I just, man, every Sunday I just feel so blessed that, I feel so blessed that God placed me in a church that is very musically talented and talented with many other things as well. So keep up the great work, everyone, please. That's just, what a blessing it is to me. So anyhow, take a second and think back to your childhood, or you guys that are younger, to your heroes. The little, and I know growing up, we've all had them, had our action heroes we looked up to, or sports heroes or figures, whatever. I know when I was growing up, Michael Jordan was a very popular basketball player, and so he was one that you know, I was one of them, but all our classmates, we all had our 23 jerseys, and every sport we played, the kids would fight over getting the number 23. And I'm sure you kids do that today too, still have people in sports you look up to and stuff. Yeah. Okay. Well, in this country, for some reason, we're fascinated with superheroes. And I don't mean specifically in the church, but bear with me a second here. And these movies all have good guys and bad guys, or a villain and a superhero. And I'm talking like Batman, Spider-Man, Iron Man, all those movies. I know you guys, at least younger ones, can relate to that and are familiar. But since 1951, there's been over 189 of these action movies with villains and superheroes made. Billions and billions of dollars have been spent in this country on this good versus evil thing. And actually, 1966 Batman movie has grossed over $1.7 billion alone. And it's all with the villain and the superhero. All that is going there. And as I read today's scripture, I kind of got almost this, just the first time I skimmed through it, you can just feel the good guy versus bad guy coming out in this, or the good versus evil, and how it was talking about Adam's first sin and the fall of man, but then Jesus comes in and saves the day. So that's kind of the twist I thought of when I read this passage. And you know, there's of course a lot more to it than that as I studied it. But it just, some reason, we were just fascinated with this. And thankfully, Jesus came in and saved the day, because if you really read and see what happened after that first sin in the Bible, how horrible it is. And actually, this world is still pretty bad. But I got three takeaways. I call them takeaways. It's the part of the, as we read Scripture, you know, as we read it, it's of course set back in, back then is what they called it in my pastoral ministries classes, the then and there. And now we need to relate it to the here and now. And the here and now, the takeaways from this, there's three things I got out of this. How our peace, Adam had peace with God, but that peace was lost because of Adam and because of the first sin. And as you continue reading, you get that peace was restored through Jesus. And third, and the final point that we're going to look at today a little bit, is now it's our job, because of Jesus and restoring that peace, that we are to live at peace with God. And those are the three things that we're going to look at today. That peace with God was lost through Adam, from Adam. Peace with God was restored because of Jesus. And now we are called to live at peace with God. Romans 5, 12 through 21, I'm going to read now. And it's, for me, it's, I don't think I'm the greatest reader in front of people, so it's at my limit here for reading. So you might have to bear with me a little bit, but we're going to read now. So if you would turn with me, to Romans 5, 12 through 21. And I want you to see as we're reading, see if you can pick out the parts where I'm referencing that the peace was lost through Adam, restored through Jesus, and that we are to live because of that. Because of Jesus, we can live at peace with God. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, Adam, and death came through sin, and so death spread to all, because all have sinned. Sin was indeed in the world before the law, but sin is not reckoned when there is no law. Yet death exercised dominion from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sins were not like the transgressions of Adam, who is a type of the one who is to come. There's the very first reference to Jesus in this scripture. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died through one man's trespass, much more surely have the grace of God and the free gift in the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded in the many. And the free gift is not like the effect of the one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brings justification. But if one man's trespass, death exercised dominion through that one, much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness exercise dominion in life through one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, just as one man's trespass led to condemnation for all, so one man's act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all. For just as by one man's obedience that many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience that many will be made righteous. But law came in, with the result that trespass multiplied. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that just as sin exercised dominion in death, so grace might also exercise dominion through justification, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Obviously, we know and can understand that Adam brought sin into this world. But I want you to think back now of Adam before that sin, living in the Garden of Eden. And it's something that I think we often overlook. And if you think about it, think about how Adam had the perfect relationship with God. And it's something that I think we could all, well, we all hope for and strive for, that Adam daily walked with God, talked with God, spent time with him. It was just like he was almost his personal friend that just went everywhere with him. And Adam, he didn't have worries. He didn't have anything to stress out about. He didn't have to worry about paying his bills or getting to work on time or the kids' grades, or he didn't have to worry about anything. His job was to name the animals. Think about it. That was his job in this garden where he had no cares, nothing to worry about at all, living in perfect harmony with God. And all he had to do was name the animals. And it's a perfect, as the garden's described, it's a perfect place. It's paradise. And the closest thing I can think of to paradise was when me and my wife got to celebrate our 15th anniversary in Maui. And how, I mean, we had a lot of other responsibilities, but when we were there, our tough decision of the day was whether to sit by the pool or walk 30 feet and sit by the ocean. I mean, it was wonderful. But Adam had that every day, and not only did he have that, he had God right there with him, and there was no sin in between. There was nothing messing that up. But then came the serpent. And that peace with God was lost. Not just for Adam, but for all humanity. And I'm not going to get into the man's role and the woman's role today. But I know Eve ate the apple first. But this is all Adam. And I think this can, and I'm just going to touch on this, that Adam's job was to protect his family. And his job not only was to protect his family, but his job was to be the spiritual leader of the family. And so, men, I want you to take note of that. That it was Adam's job and he failed. And it's also our responsibility. It's our responsibility to share scripture with our children and pray with them and our families. Don't mess that up like Adam did. We really only get one shot at that. And I'm learning quickly how quick my kids are growing up and how busy and crazy things can be. But Adam, he messed it up for all of us. For all of us. Verse 12, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death came through that sin, so death spread to all, because all have sinned. One man's bad decision. I'm sure Adam didn't get up that morning and think, well, maybe I'll make a bad choice today. No, one of the things I try to pray every day is, Lord, help me make smart decisions today. Help me make a good decision. But this one man made one bad decision. And just look at the chaos in the world around us today. Brought sin into this world. One man, one bad decision. All because of one. I remember in high school, I played basketball too. That basketball was still is my favorite sport. And I wasn't that talented at basketball, but I hustled. I was able to run and not stop, and so I couldn't hardly make a basket to save my life, but I played good defense, so I got to play. But in practice, and I'll bet those of you that have played sports can relate to this, in practice, we had to do, back then our coach called them suicides. I don't know what they're called today, but we'd start at the one end of the court and run to the foul line, back, half court, back, three-quarter court back, full court and back. Until you're done, you are completely and utterly exhausted. But the trick was we had to do so many each practice. And every one of us had to get them under a certain time. And not everybody would hustle as much as I did. Fortunately, I can say I never made the team run another one. But if we didn't make them in this certain amount of time, we had to run till we did. Because one person couldn't get the time, get it done in the right time, we all had to run. We all had to. Because of one person, our peace with God was lost. Our peace with our Heavenly Father was lost. But fortunately, as we read on in our scripture, because of one wonderful person, Jesus Christ, that peace is being restored. And the peace that I'm talking about today is the peace in our hearts. Not peace of this earth. That will come during the rapture when Jesus comes back to this earth in person. But I'm talking the peace in our hearts. Jesus was able to restore that. And we can live at peace with God. Verse 19. For just as by one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience, that many will be made righteous. Jesus is the real hero here. I know growing up, we look at others as we're young, look at different superheroes, but Jesus is our hero because he was fully human and sinless. And I know, at least for me struggling growing up, that well, of course Jesus didn't sin at all because he's God's son. He has this special power, but as we read in many, many accounts in Scripture, it says Jesus was fully human. And that fully human, we can translate that or take that as, he saw every sin we did. He saw every temptation we did. I don't think, as we read that, I don't think God protected him from anything. Matter of fact, I know he didn't. He faced everything we did. But he made smart decision after smart decision and came through sinless. Came through sinless. And because that sinlessness, that holiness that he was able to live, he took our sins away and can clean this world. And he will. And that Jesus is our peacemaker. Now because of Jesus. See, when Adam was in the garden, he didn't have any sin getting in the way of God. I've already mentioned that. But now, because of Jesus, we can live the same way. We can have peace in our hearts with our God. We can sit there and we can sit down and pray. And we know God hears our prayers because our heart is clear. There's no sin getting in the way. So that brings me to this question. Do you have peace with God? Are you at peace in your heart with God? As I ran Monday at the Sparty Fair, there's times, and there's a lot of hills in that course, but there was times that I'm going pretty good, especially at the start, and I'm thinking, I got this, I'm no problem. But it's a mental game, and then all of a sudden you get too many hills, or you get real tired, and you're starting to think, I can't do this. I can't do this. And then you pick it up again, and your mind just goes up and down, up and down. And there's times in our spiritual walk that we can hit that too. So when I say, are you right, or you have peace with God, doesn't necessarily mean you're leading a sinful life. Could just be you're facing struggles. There's some things that just distracting you and getting in your way. When you face that, take it to God. Ask Him for that peace. Because with all the chaos in this world today, with all the chaos that's going on, we can pray for peace on this world, in this earth, but the most important thing is peace in our hearts with God. And giving your heart to Christ. And calling His name in your times of your struggles. That's what it's about. That's why Jesus died on the cross. So we can have peace with God Almighty. And if you don't have peace, pray for it. Pray for that peace in your heart. Seek out a friend, a good Christian friend. Talk to him. One of the biggest mistakes we make as Christians is keeping everything bottled up inside. And I'm just as guilty of that as the next guy. One of the biggest mistakes we make is keeping our feelings to ourselves when we're having a day of struggles. Because I don't want my neighbors who are good Christian friends and go to the same church as me, I don't want them knowing that I'm struggling today. I don't want them knowing that there's some things in my mind that makes me question things. So I'm going to keep that to myself and let Satan keep eating at me and eating at me. No. Share. Share your heart with your friends. Build this community. And work with each other to have peace with God in your hearts. Let us pray. Father God, Lord God, we look forward to the day that we can live and that we can see your glory and your splendor and that there is peace completely across this earth and in heaven. And Lord, we know that peace will be restored. But the most important thing we pray for right now, Lord, is the peace in our hearts that come through Jesus and His sacrifice on the cross. God, I pray that each and every person in this room can live at peace the remainder of this day, this week, and the months and years to come. The remainder of this time, their time on this earth, Lord, I pray that each and every one of us can live at peace with you. In all the struggles and the trials and the challenges we face, God, we can still have peace with you, and that's what I pray for today. Lord God, I pray for our family members of this congregation who aren't with us today as well, and I pray for peace in their hearts. In your precious Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.